Disclaimer. This podcast is for educational and informational purposes only. I am not a doctor, and I am not providing medical advice. Peptides and research compounds are not FDA approved for the treatment of multiple sclerosis. Always speak with a licensed medical professional before starting, stopping, or combining any supplement, peptide, medication, or protocol, especially if you have an autoimmune condition like MS. Never self-treat serious neurological symptoms. Now, let's get into it. Welcome back to the podcast. Today, we're talking about a topic that I get asked about constantly, and honestly, it's one of the most important topics I've ever covered on the show. Multiple sclerosis. If you or someone you love has MS, you already know this is not just a diagnosis. It's a lifestyle change. It's a long-term battle. It's uncertainty. It's fatigue that people don't understand. It's brain fog that doesn't show up on a scan. It's nerve pain, numbness, weakness, muscle spasticity, vision issues, heat intolerance, balance problems, and sometimes it's just waking up every day wondering what version of your body you're going to get. So today we're going to talk about peptides that may support someone with MS. And I want to be very clear. Peptides are not a cure for MS. But peptides may help support inflammation control, immune regulation, nervous system repair, mitochondrial function, neuroprotection, remyelination support, gut health, and recovery. And those things matter. Because MS is complicated. It's not just one issue. It's multiple issues happening at the same time. MS is an autoimmune disease where the immune system mistakenly attacks the protective covering around nerves, called myelin. That myelin sheath is like insulation around electrical wires. When the insulation is damaged, nerve signals get disrupted. That's why MS symptoms can show up in so many different ways. Because it depends on where the damage is happening. Some people experience relapsing remitting MS, where symptoms flare up and then calm down. Other people experience progressive forms, where symptoms gradually worsen over time. But no matter the type, the main themes are inflammation, immune dysfunction, oxidative stress, and nervous system degeneration. So when we talk about peptides for MS, we're not looking for one magic peptide. We're looking for support tools. We're looking for a stack. We're looking for a strategy. And we're looking for safety and balance. So let's break this down into categories, because this will help you understand why certain peptides might be worth looking into. The major goals when supporting MS are, number one, immune modulation. Number two, inflammation reduction. Number three, neuroprotection. Number four, nerve regeneration and repair. Number five, mitochondrial energy and fatigue support. Number six, gut and systemic inflammation control. And number seven, stress resilience, mood support, and sleep quality. Because stress and sleep absolutely impact MS flare-ups. So, let's start with one of the most important peptides for MS support. Thymosin alpha-1. This peptide is one of the most discussed immune modulators in the peptide world. And when it comes to autoimmune conditions, the key word is modulation, not stimulation. A lot of people make the mistake of thinking you want to boost the immune system. But with autoimmune diseases, you don't want to boost the immune system. You want to balance it. You want to regulate it. Thymosin alpha-1 is known for supporting immune function in a regulatory way. It's been studied in viral infections, immune dysfunction, and inflammatory conditions. And what makes it interesting for MS is that it may help shift immune response patterns. MS involves immune system imbalance, especially involving T cells. Thymosin alpha-1 has been associated with supporting proper T cell function and immune communication. This matters because MS often involves an immune system that is overreacting in the wrong direction. People also look at thymosin alpha-1 for inflammation control. It may reduce certain inflammatory cytokines and help the body regulate immune response. Now, is it guaranteed?
No.
But it is one of the first peptides that comes up when people talk about immune-based disease support. Many peptide clinicians will consider thymosin alpha-1 as a foundational peptide for autoimmune and chronic inflammatory conditions. Another related peptide is thymulin. Sometimes you'll see these stacked together, and people refer to thymic peptides as a group. Thymulin is thought to support immune balance and thymus-related immune regulation. If you're looking at MS from an immune angle, thymic peptides are definitely worth understanding. Now, the next peptide I want to talk about is BPC-157. BPC-157 is one of the most popular peptides in the world, and for good reason. It is widely known for its healing properties. But most people think of it as a tendon or ligament peptide. They think of it for injuries, surgery recovery, muscle tears, and gut healing. But here's the interesting part. BPC-157 is not just about muscles. BPC-157 has been studied for neurological protection and nerve repair effects. It has been looked at in relation to brain injury models, nerve damage, and inflammation. It may have protective effects on the nervous system and help support repair processes. And for MS, this becomes important because MS is not only inflammation. It is degeneration and damage. BPC-157 is also strongly associated with gut repair. And I need you to understand this clearly. Gut inflammation can absolutely worsen autoimmune disease. Leaky gut, microbiome imbalance, and chronic gut inflammation can contribute to immune dysfunction. So even if BPC-157 didn't do anything directly to the brain, its ability to support gut integrity could still matter for MS. Because the gut and immune system are connected. So BPC-157 often becomes part of an MS support stack, not because it treats MS, but because it supports repair systems and reduces inflammatory burden. Now, let's talk about TB-500. TB-500 is a synthetic version of thymosin beta, 4 fragments. It's known for tissue repair, angiogenesis support, and recovery. But TB-500 has also been discussed for its regenerative effects. Some people consider it helpful for reducing inflammation and supporting healing. Now, with MS, TB-500 is not usually the first peptide people think of. But in the context of overall tissue repair and systemic recovery, it sometimes gets included, especially if the person with MS is also dealing with muscular weakness, chronic pain, injury susceptibility, or limited mobility. Anything that supports recovery and healing becomes relevant. Now, the next peptide category is the neuropeptides. And this is where it gets exciting, because MS is neurological. So peptides that support the brain, cognition, mood, and nervous system function can be extremely important. The first two neuropeptides I want to talk about are C-Max and C-Link. C-Max is a peptide that has been widely used in certain parts of the world for cognitive support. People often use C-Max for energy, focus, motivation, mental clarity, and neuroprotection. C-Max is thought to influence BDNF, brain-derived neurotrophic factor. BDNF is basically one of the body's most important brain repair and neuroplasticity signals. BDNF is involved in learning, memory, and nerve growth. If you're dealing with MS, supporting BDNF is extremely relevant because MS can involve cognitive decline, brain fog, fatigue, mood instability, and nervous system stress. C-Max is also associated with antioxidant effects and potential protection against oxidative stress. And oxidative stress is one of the major contributors to neurodegeneration. So C-Max is often considered one of the best peptides for mental clarity and neurological support. C-Link is closely related, but the vibe is different. C-Link is more known for anxiety reduction, calming effects, and mood balance. Many people compare C-Link to a peptide-based anti-anxiety support tool. It may help reduce stress response and support emotional stability. And stress is a major trigger for MS flare-ups. Now, I'm not saying stress causes MS, but stress absolutely can worsen autoimmune inflammation and symptom severity. So if you can reduce stress load on the nervous system, you may help reduce symptom intensity and frequency of flare-ups. C-Max and C-Link together are often used as a combination. One for mental energy and neuroprotection. One for calmness and anxiety reduction. And that combo can be powerful for MS patients who deal with fatigue, depression, anxiety, brain fog, and nervous system overload. Now, another peptide that gets discussed in the MS community is cerebralosin. Now, technically, cerebralosin is not a single peptide. It's a mixture of neuropeptides derived from brain proteins. It's been used in some countries for stroke recovery, brain injury, cognitive decline, and neurological disorders. Some people in the biohacking world explore cerebralicin for MS because of its neurotrophic support. Neurotrophic means it supports nerve growth factors and repair signals. People believe it may support neuroplasticity and brain recovery. But cerebralicin is not a casual peptide. It's a serious compound with a lot of debate around it, and it should only be considered with medical oversight. But it is worth mentioning because it comes up frequently in neurological peptide discussions. Now, let's talk about another peptide and compound category that matters hugely for MS mitochondrial support. If you have MS or you know someone with MS, you know fatigue is not just being tired. MS fatigue is brutal. It's like your body battery is permanently on low. Even when you sleep, even when you rest, even when you try to push through. A big part of MS fatigue may relate to inflammation, nervous system inefficiency, and mitochondrial dysfunction. Mitochondria are the energy factories of your cells. When mitochondria are impaired, energy output drops, and fatigue increases. So, one of the most important mitochondrial support peptides is MOC. MOC is sometimes called an exercise mimetic peptide, meaning it mimics some benefits of exercise signaling. It's associated with improved metabolic health, insulin sensitivity, mitochondrial function, and energy production. Now, does it cure MS?
No.
But could it help with fatigue, energy metabolism, and body composition? Potentially. And that matters because many MS patients struggle with weight gain, reduced mobility, insulin resistance, and muscle loss. MOC may also support inflammation reduction indirectly by improving metabolic health. And metabolic health is a major piece of autoimmune stability. So MOC is often included in an MS support protocol. Now, another compound that gets talked about is SS31. SS31 is a mitochondrial peptide that targets oxidative stress inside mitochondria. It has been explored for aging, fatigue, neurodegeneration, and mitochondrial disorders. It is extremely interesting for MS because MS involves oxidative stress, neuroinflammation, and mitochondrial dysfunction. SS31 may help protect mitochondria from damage and improve cellular energy efficiency. Now, SS31 is still considered a research compound, and it is not mainstream. But if we're talking about peptides that could be relevant for MS, SS31 is absolutely on the list. Now, let's talk about NAD+. NAD is not technically a peptide, but it's often used in peptide protocols. NAD is one of the most important molecules for cellular energy and mitochondrial function. NAD declines with age, and low NAD is linked to fatigue, poor recovery, inflammation, and cognitive decline. People use NAD support for energy, brain function, and longevity. And for MS, NAD support can potentially help with fatigue and brain function. Some people use NAD injections. Some use precursors like NMN or NR. But NAD support is a major part of many anti-aging and neurosupport stacks. Now, another peptide worth discussing is apithalon. Apithalon is often talked about as a longevity peptide. It is associated with telomere support and pineal gland regulation. Some people use apithalon for sleep improvement, circadian rhythm support, and recovery. And sleep is huge in MS because poor sleep worsens inflammation. It worsens pain sensitivity. It worsens fatigue. And it worsens cognitive function. Apithalon might not directly treat MS, but if it helps improve sleep and recovery, it could be beneficial in the overall protocol. Now, let's talk about GHKCU. GHKCU is copper peptide. Most people know it for skin health, hair growth, wound healing, collagen production, and anti-aging. But GHKCU is also associated with anti-inflammatory and regenerative signaling. Some research suggests it may influence gene expression related to tissue repair. And because MS involves tissue damage, nerve inflammation, and systemic oxidative stress, some people include GHKCU for overall repair support. Now, I will say this. GHKCU is not a frontline MS peptide, but it can be supportive. And some people find that it improves recovery, energy, and inflammation. Now, let's talk about KPV. KPV is a peptide fragment related to alpha-MSH, and KPV is best known for inflammation reduction, especially in the gut. KPV is commonly discussed for inflammatory bowel issues, gut irritation, autoimmune inflammation, and histamine-related problems. Now, why does this matter for MS? Because MS is systemic inflammation, and many MS patients also have gut issues. And the gut-immune-brain connection is real. If your gut is inflamed, your immune system is on high alert. If your immune system is on high alert, autoimmune conditions can worsen. KPV is often used to calm inflammatory cascades. Some people consider it one of the most underrated peptides for autoimmune support, not because it directly affects the brain, but because it reduces inflammatory signaling and supports immune balance through the gut. Now, another peptide category to consider is growth hormone-releasing peptides. These include peptides like CJC, 1295, Ipamorelin, Tesamorelin, and Sermorelin. Now, MS patients often struggle with muscle weakness and loss of lean mass. They may struggle with poor recovery. They may struggle with slow healing. They may struggle with body composition changes due to mobility issues. Growth hormone is deeply connected to tissue repair, muscle maintenance, recovery, sleep quality, and metabolism. So growth hormone support peptides might help improve recovery and quality of life. But there is a big caution here. With autoimmune disease, you must be careful with anything that might increase inflammation or immune activation indirectly. Most GHRH and GHRP peptides are considered supportive and relatively safe when properly dosed. But this is not a category to play around with casually. Still, Sermorelin is often considered one of the gentler options. It supports natural growth hormone release. It may improve sleep. It may improve recovery. And it may support muscle preservation. CJC, 1295 with Ipamorelin is another popular combo. Many people use it for body recomposition, sleep, and recovery. For MS, it might be helpful because muscle loss and weakness are major quality of life issues. But again, this should be approached with professional guidance. Now, let's talk about peptides that support nerve repair and neurotrophic growth. One that comes up a lot is BDNF-related peptides or BDNF support. Some people experiment with BDNF peptides. Some use compounds like CMAX to increase BDNF naturally. But the reason BDNF matters is because MS is associated with neurodegeneration. If you can support neurotrophic growth factors, you may support the nervous system's ability to adapt and recover. Now, one peptide worth mentioning is Dihexa. Dihexa is a peptide-like compound that has been explored for cognitive enhancement and neuroplasticity. It's sometimes discussed in Alzheimer's and cognitive decline circles. But Dihexa is controversial. It is powerful, but it is not widely studied in humans. Some people believe it could potentially support synapse formation and brain repair. However, this is a compound that must be approached with caution. It is not a beginner compound, and it is not a casual MS supplement. But it does get mentioned, so I want you to be aware of it. Now, another peptide and compound category that matters for MS is anti-inflammatory peptides. We already talked about KPV. But another major inflammation reducer people use is thymosin alpha-1. Some also use BPC-157 for inflammation control. Some use peptides like LL-37, but that is a very complex immune peptide and not one I would recommend casually for autoimmune patients because immune activation can be risky. So the key idea is this. In MS, you want peptides that reduce inflammation and regulate immune balance, not peptides that aggressively stimulate immune response. Now, let's talk about a peptide that many people don't associate with MS, but it matters. VIP, vasoactive intestinal peptide. VIP is a regulatory neuroimmune peptide that affects inflammation, immune signaling, and the nervous system. VIP has been discussed in chronic inflammatory response syndrome and immune dysregulation. Some people explore VIP for autoimmune issues. But VIP is also not a beginner peptide. It can affect blood pressure, vascular tone, and systemic balance. So it requires medical oversight. But it is one of the peptides that gets discussed in the MS world because of its immune modulating effects. Now, let's talk about MS symptom management. Because some peptides might not affect the underlying disease, but could improve symptoms. For example, PT, 141. PT 141 is primarily used for libido and sexual function. Now, why does that matter? Because MS can cause sexual dysfunction, reduce sensation, and reduce libido. MS can affect nerve signaling in the pelvic region. It can also affect confidence, relationships, and quality of life. PT 141 is not an MS peptide, but it may help restore quality of life in that category. And quality of life matters. Because if you feel like yourself again, you're more likely to stay consistent with movement, nutrition, therapy, and your protocol. Another peptide-like compound is melanotin 2. Melanotin 2 is mostly used for tanning, but it also influences appetite and libido. However, it can have side effects, including nausea, blood pressure changes, and pigment changes. And for MS, it's not really a primary tool. But some people with MS do use it for mood and libido benefits. Still, it's not one I would put high on the list. Now, let's talk about the elephant in the room. Remyelination. The dream for MS is supporting remyelination, rebuilding that protective nerve coating. Now, there are no peptides that are proven to remyelinate nerves in humans as a guaranteed therapy. But there are compounds and peptides being explored that may support nerve growth and repair pathways. This is where neurotrophic peptides, mitochondrial peptides, and inflammation control peptides become important. Because the body cannot rebuild properly in an inflammatory environment. If inflammation is high, repair is low. So if you want to support remyelination, you must first calm the immune system, then support the nervous system, then support the mitochondria, then support the repair process. That's why MS peptide support is a layered approach. Now, I want to talk about something that often gets overlooked. Peptides won't work well if the foundations are broken. If your vitamin D is low, your inflammation is going to be higher. If your magnesium is low, your muscle function and nerve function will be worse. If your gut health is wrecked, your immune system will stay inflamed. If your sleep is garbage, your nervous system will stay inflamed. If your stress is constant, your flare risk goes up. So, if you're looking at peptides for MS, you need to understand that peptides are not magic. They are amplifiers. They amplify your recovery ability. They amplify repair signaling. But if you're doing everything else wrong, you're basically trying to fix a burning house with a garden hose. Now, let's walk through what a realistic peptide approach for MS might look like conceptually. Not medical advice, but conceptually. First, immune modulation and inflammation control. That might include thymosin alpha-1, possibly thymulin, possibly KPV for gut and systemic inflammation, possibly BPC-157 for inflammation and healing. Second, nervous system support and neuroprotection. That might include CMAX. That might include C-Link, possibly SS-31, possibly NAD support. Third, mitochondrial energy and fatigue support. That might include MOS-C. That might include SS-31. That might include NAD. Fourth, repair and regeneration. That might include BPC-157. Possibly TB-500. Possibly GHKCU. Fifth, sleep and recovery. That might include Epithalon. And also, improving sleep hygiene and circadian rhythm. Now, here's the key point. MS is different for every person. Some people struggle more with fatigue. Some struggle more with mobility. Some struggle more with spasticity. Some struggle more with pain. Some struggle more with brain fog. So peptide selection should match the symptoms. If fatigue is the main problem, mitochondrial peptides become priority. If anxiety and stress are huge triggers, C-Link becomes priority. If inflammation and flare-ups are the main issue, thymosin alpha, 1, and KPV become priority. If injury and slow healing are issues, BPC-157 and TB-500 become priority. If sleep is wrecked, Epithalon becomes priority. Now, let's go deeper into a few of these. Let's talk about CMAX in more detail. CMAX is often described as a nootropic peptide, but it's more than that. It may support brain blood flow. It may support neuroplasticity. It may support dopamine balance. It may support BDNF expression. Many people report that CMAX makes them feel mentally sharp, motivated, and clear. And in MS, mental clarity is not a luxury. It is survival. Brain fog can feel like losing yourself. So CMAX is often used for cognitive performance. Some people use it daily for periods. Some use it in cycles. Now, C-Link. C-Link is often described as calming, anti-anxiety, and stabilizing. Some people describe C-Link as feeling like a gentle emotional reset. Not sedating. Not numbing. Just stabilizing. And this matters because MS patients often deal with depression and anxiety, not just from life circumstances, but because inflammation affects neurotransmitters. Inflammation can affect serotonin and dopamine pathways. So reducing stress and improving mood is not just emotional support. It can be part of inflammation management. Now, thymosin alpha-1. This is one of the most important peptides for immune modulation. It may support immune system balance. It may reduce inappropriate immune responses. And it may support antiviral defense. Now, MS is not caused by a virus in the traditional sense. But viruses like Epstein-Barr virus have been associated with MS risk. And many autoimmune patients have immune systems that respond abnormally to viral triggers. So peptides that support immune regulation may be beneficial. Now, BPC-157. This peptide is famous for healing. But it also has something else going on. It appears to influence nitric oxide pathways, inflammation signaling, and tissue repair. Some people with MS report that BPC-157 helps reduce pain and improve recovery. Now, this is anecdotal, but it comes up again and again. And it makes sense because BPC-157 supports systemic repair. Now, MOC. MOC is one of the most exciting peptides for fatigue and metabolism. Many MS patients struggle with weight gain due to reduced mobility, and weight gain can worsen fatigue and inflammation. So improving metabolic efficiency is a big deal. If MOC helps with mitochondrial signaling, it may help with energy. Now, SS-31. This peptide is a mitochondrial protector. It's sometimes discussed for neurodegenerative diseases. If MS is involving oxidative stress and mitochondrial dysfunction, SS-31 could be supportive. Now, again, this is a research peptide. It's not mainstream, but it is interesting. Now, Epithalon. This peptide is often used for longevity and sleep. And sleep is a massive part of MS stability. If your sleep is inconsistent, inflammation goes up. If inflammation goes up, symptoms worsen. If symptoms worsen, sleep gets worse. It becomes a loop. So anything that supports deeper sleep and circadian rhythm can indirectly support MS symptom stability. Now, let's talk about another important angle. Neuroinflammation. In MS, inflammation isn't only in the joints or muscles. It's in the brain and spinal cord. That's why MS symptoms are neurological. So peptides that reduce neuroinflammation are very valuable. CMAX and C-Link may help with neuroinflammation indirectly. SS-31 may help by reducing oxidative stress in mitochondria. NAD support may help by improving cellular energy and repair capacity. And KPV may help by reducing systemic inflammation that feeds into neuroinflammation. Now, I want to talk about something that many people ignore. Autoimmune conditions can be worsened by chronic infections, gut imbalance, mold exposure, heavy metals, and chronic inflammatory triggers. Now, peptides might help the body regulate inflammation, but if the person is constantly exposed to triggers, it's like trying to swim upstream. So peptides should be part of a bigger plan. That includes nutrition. That includes vitamin D optimization. That includes stress management. That includes movement. And that includes removing inflammatory triggers. Now, one of the most common questions I get is, can peptides replace MS medications? And the answer is no. Absolutely not. Not without a doctor guiding that process. MS medications like disease-modifying therapies exist for a reason. They have evidence. They have risk profiles. They have monitoring protocols. And they can slow progression. Peptides might be supportive, but they should not be viewed as replacements. They should be viewed as support tools. Now, another question I get is, can peptides stop flare-ups? And the answer is, we don't have enough evidence to claim that. But some peptides may reduce inflammatory load and improve recovery, which might make flare-ups less severe or help recovery after a flare. But again, every case is different. Now, let's talk about some peptides and supplements that are often paired with peptide protocols for MS. This is not a supplement podcast, but it matters. Vitamin D is huge. Omega-3 fatty acids are huge. Magnesium is huge. CoQ10 is huge. Alpha-lipoic acid is huge. Curcumin is huge. And interestingly, curcumin is sometimes used in injectable or peptide stack form. Curcumin is one of the best-studied anti-inflammatory natural compounds. It supports inflammation reduction and oxidative stress reduction. And oxidative stress is a major issue in MS. So curcumin often appears in MS support stacks. Now, another peptide-adjacent compound is glutathione. Glutathione is the body's master antioxidant. It's not a peptide, but it is often injected in wellness protocols. If oxidative stress is high, glutathione support can be beneficial. Now, let's talk about pain and spasticity. MS pain is not always the same as normal pain. It can be neuropathic pain, burning, tingling, electric shocks, deep nerve pain, and spasticity can feel like your muscles are fighting you. Peptides may not directly eliminate spasticity, but reducing inflammation and supporting nervous system repair may help over time. Some people report that BPC-157 reduces pain. Some people report that C-Link reduces nervous system tension. Some people report that mitochondrial peptides reduce fatigue-related pain. Now, I want to address one of the biggest emotional parts of MS. MS can make people feel like their body betrayed them. It can make people feel isolated. Because you can look fine on the outside, but feel like you're carrying a weighted vest of exhaustion inside. And that's why I believe MS support should include mental health support. That's why C-Link is so interesting. Because anxiety and depression are extremely common in MS. And not just because of the diagnosis, but because inflammation affects the brain. So if a peptide can reduce anxiety and stabilize mood, that could improve quality of life massively. Now, another peptide worth mentioning is ARA-290, also known as sabirnetug. This is a peptide studied for neuropathy and inflammation. It's been explored for small fiber neuropathy and nerve pain. Now, ARA-290 is not commonly accessible like BPC-157 or C-Max, but it is a peptide that comes up in discussions around nerve pain and autoimmune-related neuropathy. So if you hear that name, that's what it is. Now, I want to talk about what an MS-focused peptide protocol should prioritize. And the answer is not weight loss. It's not aesthetics. It's not chasing the newest trending compound. The priorities should be nervous system stability, inflammation control, immune balance, energy support, and repair support. Because if you can stabilize those things, everything else improves. Now, let's talk about cycling. Many people with MS do better with cycling peptides rather than constant long-term use. Because you want to avoid overstimulation. You want to avoid adaptation. You want to avoid immune unpredictability. So a lot of people will run peptides in blocks. For example, thymosin alpha, one might be used for several weeks, then paused. C-Max and C-Link might be used in cycles. BPC-157 might be used during symptom flare-ups, injuries, or gut issues. MoC might be cycled for metabolic support. Epitalon might be run in short sleep-focused cycles. Now, again, this should be guided by someone who understands autoimmune conditions, because MS is not the place to guess. Now, let's talk about what peptides I would consider the top five categories for MS support based on what we currently know and what people commonly use. Number one, immune modulation peptides. Thymosin alpha-1, thymelin. These are foundational. Number two, gut and systemic inflammation peptides. BPC-157, KPV, because gut health is immune health. Number three, neuropeptides. C-Max, C-Link, because brain fog, anxiety, and nervous system inflammation are major symptoms. Number 4. Mitochondrial peptides and energy support.
MOSE-SS31.
NAD support. Because fatigue is a major quality of life killer. Number 5. Repair and regeneration peptides. BPC. 157 again. TB. 500. GHKCU. Because MS involves degeneration and slow recovery. Now, let's talk about a realistic expectation. Peptides might not make you symptom-free, but they might help you function better. They might help you recover faster. They might help you have more good days. They might help you reduce fatigue. They might help your mood. They might help you feel more resilient. And when you have MS, resilience is everything. Now, let's talk about what not to do. Do not stack 10 peptides at once without knowing what's doing what. Do not start high doses immediately. Do not assume more is better. Do not combine peptides with MS medications without professional oversight. Do not ignore symptoms. And do not stop your MS medications because you feel better. Because sometimes MS symptoms can quiet down temporarily, but the disease activity can still be happening under the surface. MS is not always loud. Sometimes it's silent damage. So you need monitoring. You need blood work. You need imaging. You need neurological checkups. Peptides should be support, not replacement. Now, I want to talk about lifestyle synergy. Because peptides work better when you give them the right environment. If you're eating inflammatory foods constantly, you're feeding the fire. If you're sedentary, muscle weakness gets worse. If you're stressed constantly, your nervous system stays in fight or flight. If your vitamin D is low, your immune system stays dysregulated. So the best peptide protocol for MS is always combined with lifestyle changes. And I'm not talking about perfection. I'm talking about small, consistent improvements. Even gentle movement like stretching, walking, water therapy, or yoga can help. Even cleaning up nutrition a little can help. Even improving sleep a little can help. Now, I want to mention something else that's important. Heat sensitivity. Many MS patients struggle with heat. Heat can worsen symptoms dramatically. So if someone is using peptides that increase metabolism or increase thermogenesis or increase activity, they need to monitor heat response. Hydration and electrolytes become very important. Now, let's talk about one of the most overlooked pieces of MS muscle wasting. If your nervous system is impaired, your muscles may not fire correctly. Over time, that can lead to muscle loss. That leads to weakness. That leads to less mobility. That leads to less activity. That leads to more inflammation and more fatigue. It becomes a downward spiral. So supporting muscle preservation is important. This is where growth hormone support peptides might play a role. Sermorelin, CJC, 1295 with ipamorelin, tesamorelin. But again, I want to emphasize, MS is not the place to chase bodybuilding doses. This is about gentle support. Now, I want to talk about the emotional side again, because MS can be isolating. And when people try new things like peptides, they often feel hope. And hope is powerful. But hope should be paired with realism. Peptides are tools, not miracles. But tools can change your life. If you can reduce fatigue by even 20%, that's life-changing. If you can reduce nerve pain, that's life-changing. If you can improve sleep, that's life-changing. If you can improve mood, that's life-changing. So the goal is not perfection. The goal is improvement. Now, I want to go through a few specific symptom categories and match them with peptides people commonly explore. If your main symptom is fatigue, you may look into MOSE-SS, 31, and NAD support. If your main symptom is brain fog, you may look into CMAX and possibly cerebralisin under supervision. If your main symptom is anxiety, panic, or stress sensitivity, you may look into C-Link. If your main symptom is inflammation flare-ups and immune instability, you may look into thymosin alpha, 1, and KPV. If your main symptom is slow healing, chronic pain, and body breakdown, you may look into BPC, 157, and possibly TB, 500. If your main symptom is poor sleep and circadian rhythm issues, you may look into Apithalon. If your main symptom is gut issues, bloating, and digestive inflammation, you may look into BPC, 157, and KPV. Now, let's talk about why inflammation control is so critical. Because MS is like a wildfire. The nervous system is the forest. Inflammation is the fire. You can't rebuild the forest while the fire is still burning. So inflammation control is step one. And that doesn't mean suppressing the immune system aggressively. It means regulating it, balancing it, reducing chronic triggers, and supporting the body's natural repair process. Now, I want to mention that there are peptides being researched specifically for remyelination and MS therapy. But many of them are not commercially available in the peptide world yet. So what we're discussing today is the practical peptide landscape that people currently explore. Now, I want to give you a realistic takeaway. If someone asked me, what peptides are the most relevant for MS support, I would say these are the most commonly discussed. Thymosin Alpha 1, BPC 157,
KPV,
Cmax, C-Link,
MOCSS 31,
Epithalon, and NAD support. And then, depending on the person, possibly TB 500 GHKCU and growth hormone support peptides like Sermorelin. Now, I also want to remind you, MS is serious. If you're going to explore peptides, you need clean sourcing, proper reconstitution, sterile technique, and careful tracking of symptoms. And you should always introduce one change at a time when possible. Because if you add five things at once, you won't know what helped or what caused side effects. Now, let's talk about side effects. Because peptides can cause side effects, Cmax can sometimes cause overstimulation, irritability, or headaches. C-Link can sometimes cause drowsiness or vivid dreams. Thymosin Alpha 1 can sometimes cause fatigue or mild flu-like symptoms in some people. BPC 157 can sometimes cause nausea or dizziness in some individuals. MOC can sometimes cause appetite changes or fatigue during adaptation. SS 31 can have unknown long-term risks because it is a research compound. So the main point is, peptides are not automatically harmless just because they're peptides. They still affect biology. And MS patients should be especially careful because their immune system is already sensitive. Now, I want to talk about the long game. MS is a marathon, and peptide protocols should be designed for long-term sustainability. That means cycles. That means breaks. That means tracking. That means working with a professional if possible. That means supporting the body in multiple directions, not just one. And that means not chasing trends. Because MS does not care what's trending on TikTok. Now, I want to end this episode with something encouraging. If you have MS, you are not powerless. Even though it can feel like it, you have options. You have tools. You have strategies.
You have community.
And you have the ability to learn and experiment safely with guidance. The future of MS support is evolving, and peptides are part of that evolving world. They may not be the cure, but they may be a piece of the puzzle. And sometimes, even a small piece of the puzzle can change everything. Disclaimer: this podcast is for educational and informational purposes only. I am not a doctor, and I am not providing medical advice. Peptides and research compounds are not FDA approved for the treatment of multiple sclerosis. Always speak with a licensed medical professional before starting, stopping, or combining any supplement, peptide, medication, or protocol, especially if you have an autoimmune condition like MS. Never self-treat serious neurological symptoms. Thanks for listening. Keep learning and stay curious.